Hello and welcome to IndieInterviews.com, a weekly podcast where we interview independent musicians to get their perspective on their music, their history, and the world around their art. On a sweltering Texas tour stop, Barry Hyde of the Future Hits sits down with Indie Interviews and unravels the band's retooled commitment to harmony, label incompetence, and the band's latest post-punk reinterpretation, the excellent News and Tributes LP.
Yeah. To hand it over to some people, you know, that's the thing when you release an album, you create something, you know, like, it that's why we're here. You know, like, if bands aren't meant to exist so they can go out and party, so yeah. They can, you know, travel the world, so they can have sex with girls, get drunk every night. It's the basic thing of being creative, you know, that's why a band exists.
Since the release of News and Tributes, the band has done a national tour, played the Pitchfork Music Festival, and will soon begin another national tour through the month of October. Here's a sample of Skip to the End off News and Tributes. Podcast has been transcribed and is available on IndieInterviews.com in PDF form. Additional questions asked in the interview, but cut from the podcast for time, are available and present in the PDF.
In the interview with the Uncut, you said that the debut was not as thought out as you would have hoped it to be.
Yeah.
What could you have done differently looking back at that record?
We couldn't have done it any differently. The thing is about a first album, especially if you're a band with very few ambitions, long-term goals, you don't really ever think you're going to make an album. You know, you just think of yourself as being this thing that exists live. So we wrote most of our album without realising it was going to be an album, if you know what I mean. Like, it was just purely for live. If there was one thing I would change about the whole process of the first album, it would just be that we had more confidence. But the only way to gain confidence is through experience, and we had the only way to gain the confidence was to make the first album, I suppose. But yeah, I know, it's good. We were pleased with the first album in the end.
Yeah.
But it was quite difficult to get there. You know, we recorded it once with Andy Gill, scrapped two-thirds of that, re-recorded all of them with Paul Epworth, and it turned out good in the end, but it's not really an album, it's more of a collection of songs to us. You know, this is an album, you know, like a Led Zeppelin album.
Yeah. Recording with Andy and scrapping the materials, you had said that you weren't really prepared going into that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think in that process you might have let him influence you? Like, he tried to take influence?
I think the thing about it was we didn't allow him to influence us.
Really?
We were a little bit like, well, this is how we want to do it. Naively just said, you know, like, we just want to record this pretty much live.
Yeah.
Which is not the way to do it. It's really not the way to make a dynamic album. As much as the playing can be dynamic.
Yeah.
It's not. The arrangements don't come off as well if they're all played live. All the sounds have to be separated, I think. You know, we just wanted to do it in the kind of the easiest way possible, I think. And not get too bogged down. But there was this communication failure between us and Andy, and we were making good demos.
Yeah,
that's what we're doing, we're making good demos, but it was supposed to be our album, and that's what we came out with. It was a little bit like, these just sound like good demos.
Yeah. And on the new record, you have a lot less harmonies.
Yeah.
Did you make a conscious effort to say that was kind of, we tried maybe a gimmick? Is that what you were, in your mind, fearing that would be that?
No, I just think that we'd kind of taken that element of our music to its limits, really, mm-hmm. I think, on the first album. And the thing is about vocals, is that they're so dense.
Yeah.
It really does overpower everything else, you know. We use the harmonies a lot more tastefully, I think, and because of that, the album has far more dynamics. You know, if you've constantly got harmonies going, yeah, constantly, they don't sound like harmonies, you know, yeah, that you just get used to it. And whereas on this album, say on a song like News and Tributes,
when you bring
very
it in,
simple, it's just like, you know, they're pretty. It's yeah, like adding yeah, a string section as opposed to just, you know, four blokes just shouting.
Yeah.
You know, but we did everything on the album is very, you know, we deliberately placed it there for various reasons, but the main ambition for this album was to create more space.
Yeah.
And a more of a definition between the vocals and the instruments, I think.
And I read that you do a lot of the harmony writing on piano.
Yeah.
And only the piano use in the actual as an instrument is very limited in like on Thursdays where you really have some piano parts.
It's a little bit, yeah.
Are you considering using more piano? Is that something that you're writing with? And so is it?
Well, me and Jaff can both play the piano quite well. I don't know if it'll be used.
Yeah.
Live, maybe. Maybe it's fifth album.
And on Burnt, bringing in an acoustic guitar, yeah, is that something? Do you write with an acoustic guitar?
Yeah, always.
Always writing.
Every song I've ever written has been at home on an acoustic guitar.
What about that song make you say it can't come to an electric? It has to be.
Because we tried to. I wrote it on acoustic, and I thought maybe it would be a good idea to have acoustic guitar on there. The thing about acoustic guitar is that it can be more percussive and more abrasive than an electric guitar, because if it's an acoustic instrument, you know, like,
yeah,
acoustic instruments, the drums are the ultimate example of an acoustic, yeah, instrument, which is so loud and, you know, overpowering. But we basically had a few rehearsals back at home, and I tried using an electric guitar on it. It just sounded wrong, you know,
really?
Like, because the thing is about an electric guitar, if you play it hard, it distorts. If you play an acoustic guitar hard, it almost gets quieter,
yeah,
which just creates this percussive element. We definitely wanted to put some acoustic guitar on the album, because on the Area EP,
mm-hmm,
there's actually some 12 string acoustic on the song Area,
yeah,
and the da 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 da,
yeah,
and that was something that we felt that just, whoa, this fits, you know, like,
yeah,
acoustic guitars can fit. So then we decided to put a couple on, so there's Face and Burnt.
Called her name, they could go anywhere. Then he went somewhere alone, and then he changed his voice to a more serious tone.
People are really well receptive to it.
Yeah,
I like that.
Especially here
in the US.
Yeah, we've had really good press so far. The UK has been hit and miss. Some of them think it's amazing.
Burn?
Well, like the album, you know, like, okay, because of the change.
Yeah,
a lot of the people are just like, nah, this is not right. As,
yeah,
if they would have any way of deciding that.
Yeah,
it's like we decide if it fits. And over here, it's been very well received.
Yeah. It seems, and this is just me now making generalizations, it seems like the US can take an artist taking broader steps.
Yeah.
In the UK, that's why you get bands that create like a definition like The,
yeah,
Smiths or,
yeah,
Blur, where they're taking changes and you listen to record and it,
yeah,
is changing, but it's not like drastic steps.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they become Britpop. You know, they make these phrases to define it because they've kind of stepped so tightly around themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And you've been quite vocal, more vocal than I would have ever expected about about Warner and how you felt kind of the butt end, I guess, of the exchange.
Yeah.
I don't really know what to ask about that. But have you had any backlash as a result of being so vocal about it?
Well, we're not released by Warners in America anymore.
Yeah.
And they're the only Warners people have said anything about, so we don't have anything to do with them.
Yeah.
So they can't do anything.
I
mean, like, it's a fact.
Yeah.
That they were shite on our album. It's a fact. Just look at how much we toured here.
Yeah.
And what little returns we got out of it. Or, you know, like, we sold like 50,000 albums or something.
Yeah.
We should have sold more. But they just weren't working. They were lazy, stupid people who didn't really have that much passion for what we were doing.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, it seems like a company like that could only do one band at a time. So they did My Chemical Romance.
Yeah.
They chose them. And, you know, whatever. I don't mind that band. I think they're all right, whatever. I don't give a shit, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, Warner's, you know, those people can fuck off as far as I'm concerned. All of them.
Yeah. And I guess that's just that putting so much effort in, what a struggle it was to make that record, and then to get such
and
a poor...
To hand it over to some people. You know, that's the thing when you release an album, you create something. You know, like, that's why we're here. You know, like, if bands aren't meant to exist so they can go out and party, so they can, you know, travel the world, so they can have sex with girls, get drunk every night. It's the basic thing of being creative, you know, that's why a band exists.
Yeah.
You put all your efforts into this album and, you know, it takes you quite a while and you know, end up with, like, illnesses from the stress and stuff that, and then you hand it over to some people who couldn't care less about the music, the songs, and then you're like, oh god, here we go. You know, like, you're at this position where you've given them the album, they own the album to some degree, and then they fuck it up, and we play good shows, continue to write good songs, continue to grow as a band as they get worse and worse at what they're doing. You know, it's kind of going like this.
Yeah,
and then you're left off with what's happened now. We're on a new label who are working a lot harder.
Yeah,
we have a real sense that the Vagrant / Star Time are much better for us, and as a result of that, you know, we have more confidence and want to come back here more. Yeah. Because if Warner's, if we didn't get out of the deal with Warner's, we would never have come back to America.
Really?
No, never. I wouldn't have come back.
Yeah.
Because it would have been a waste of time. Not only for us, but for our fans who would, like, see us basically stagnate because of other people. You know, it's not fair on us, it's not fair on them.
Thanks for listening to IndieInterviews.com, a weekly podcast where we interview independent musicians. More information about our guests today, The Future Heads, can be found on their website, thefutureheads.com. Music samples in the show are from their 2006 release, News and Tributes, available now on Vagrant Records. For information on this release and upcoming Future Head releases, visit vagrant.com. For more information, including the transcription to this podcast, please visit IndieInterviews.com. For feedback on this podcast and the materials used in this production, send your thoughts to indieinterviews@indieinterviews.com. Thanks again, and see you next week.